Well, good morning. My name is Ben. I'm the lead pastor here at CORE. If we have not had the privilege of meeting before, and like Ken and Barbie or Josh and Dez said just a few minutes ago, we are so incredibly excited that each and every one of you are here, whether you're here in person, simply checking us out online, as we kick off part one in year 10 of this series that we've been calling At the Movies. And regardless of what stage of life you're in or what you walked in here carrying or who you are, what we want you to know is this. The reason why every single weekend we acknowledge this reality that we're so excited that you're here and we count ourselves privileged to get to spend just a part of our weekend with you is because we get it. We know that in your life there are a million things vying for your attention and wanting a place on your weekend to-do list, and yet you've carved out some of your weekend to spend it here with us, to take a chance on us, and we do not take that for granted. Like I said, we count ourselves privileged, and we are so incredibly excited that we get to spend just a small part of our weekend alongside of you. So thank you. And we did all of this for you. Because our hope was that through a series like this, you may walk into a church and experience something different than what you expected to experience. You see, for every single one of us, there's something special about the movies. It may be the smell of the popcorn. It may be the taste of the popcorn. It probably isn't the cost of the popcorn, but it may be the size of the screen or the comfiness of the seat when it reclines or the way in which the sounds surround you when you walk into the theater. It may be an opportunity to have a special night out with that special someone. Or maybe for you, it's the very story that you've been anticipating seeing alongside of everyone else inside of the giant theater. That even if you allow your special someone to pick the movie on that particular instance, there's still enough that's special about the movies to make it an enjoyable experience. But one of the things that's most captivating about the movies, whether you've ever recognized it or not, is this. The most captivating part of the movies, for many if not all of us, is the stories. The stories that we come to watch have this ability to transport us to new places, sometimes even out of this world. That as we engage in the stories, oftentimes as we sit in front of the big screen, it makes us dream again, if only for just a couple of hours. We're drawn to the characters, and most of the time, at least the protagonist, the hero of the story that every single time finds a way to defeat the bad guy, to get the girl, to win in the end. And the reason why the stories, and most pointedly, the main character of the stories resonates with all of us is because deep inside of all of us, we want to live lives that look like that character. That we want to live lives that tell a story of defeating the bad guy, getting the girl, making people laugh, and winning in the end. We want to live lives that make a difference and have purpose. And yet the fact of the matter is that when we walk out of that movie theater, when we go back to our normal everyday lives with those desires and we come smack dab up against the circumstances and the difficulties of our lives, what we find ourselves asking again and again and again is this: is it even possible to live a life of purpose? Is it even possible to live a life that makes a difference? More on that in just a second. Today we kick off this series, as Josh and Dez said, by exploring the movie, the blockbuster that is Barbie. And for many of y'all, when you asked me over the course of the last week or two what movies we were doing, and you heard that we were kicking off with Barbie, it was met with a whole lot of grumbling, especially from you men out there. And some of you men right now, you're sitting there with arms crossed in front of you, skeptical of how these dots are going to connect. And yet what I want to promise you is this, is that if you'll simply lean in and hang with me over the course of about the next 30 minutes, I promise that there will be something powerful that can come from, yes, even a movie about a doll. You see, there is this worldwide phenomenon that is Barbie. This movie alone in 2023 grossed almost $1.5 billion with a B dollars at the global box office. But that isn't all there is to Barbie. Barbie is so much more than that, right? Because for many of you, at least ladies in the audience, Barbie has been a significant part of so many women's childhood. You see, in 1959, Barbie was created by a woman by the name of Ruth Handler. And she created Barbie and gave her the name after her daughter, Barbara. And just a couple of years later, Barbie's ultimate accessory was created, given the name after her son, Ken. And from that time till now, there are billions upon billions of Barbies that have been bought by little girls all around the world. Don't believe me? Every single minute in our world, there are 100 Barbies sold. Every minute, 100 Barbies are sold in our world. There is one Barbie dream house that is sold every 2 minutes. And guys, at least you can resonate with me on this one, right? Me growing up, I was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe kind of guy. But there is nothing that made you envious like the Barbie dream house. Because there was no fort in G.I. Joe that could rival the size and splendor of the Barbie dream house. And Barbie's even found a way to cross over into mainstream culture of the 21st century, into social media platforms. In the 21st century, in 2024, the Barbie YouTube channel presently has over 20 million subscribers. 20 million girls in our world are logging in every single day to the Barbie YouTube channel, seeing what content Barbie is going to provide for that day. And yet it has me asking the question, why is Barbie such a phenomenon? And when we really think about it, the reason why Barbie has become such a phenomenon and resonates with so many of us is this. Is because Barbie seemingly lives a perfect life. She always looks good. She always has the dream house. Her relationship with Ken is always good. Everything about Barbie's life is perfect. And deep inside of us, don't we begin to believe that if our lives could be a little bit more perfect like Barbie's lives, then maybe some of the biggest questions and difficulties that we wrestle with in our lives would simply cease to exist? That our lives would be a whole lot easier if they looked a little bit more like Barbie's? And yet at the very beginning of this movie, we see a quick 90-degree turn in Barbie's story. Because while Barbie's story has been perfect for the entirety of her life and her creation, one morning she wakes up and things are far from perfect. It seems as if her life has begun to unravel before her. And it sets off a chain of events that parallels her life to ours. Check this out. You see, in one morning, Barbie wakes up and she has the same problems as the rest of us. She wakes up and morning breath is a reality in her life. She wakes up and the perfect heart-shaped waffle comes out burnt and the whipped cream doesn't find itself directly on top but falls on the counter. The milk is expired, and in Barbie land, up until this point, you don't even need stairs because Barbie floats everywhere she goes. And yet on this day, she finds herself falling from the third story. And upon encountering trouble in her life and in her story, Barbie does what all of us do. She goes searching for answers. She goes searching for a solution to fix what has become broken. And she goes searching in much the way you and I do every day of our lives. She finds herself wandering out into the real world, thinking that somewhere out there, there must be a fix, there must be a solution to all of the brokenness that she has encountered. And as Barbie marches out into the real world, she finds what you and I so often find, that this world isn't all that it's cracked up to be. That this world is kind of broken and kind of messed up. And it's kind of doing a whole bunch of stuff that we never expected it to do. And yet in light of finding what she has found out in the real world, she has this incredible encounter with who she doesn't know is her creator, Ruth Handler, that offers her some incredible insight in light of her finding that not only is she broken, but the world around her is broken as well. Check this out. The real world isn't what I thought it was. It's such a powerful moment with such a powerful connection. What you may not know is that the director of this film, Greta Gerwig, is actually a woman of faith. There's an Easter egg hidden within this very clip. The moment in which you see Ruth Handler, the creator, extend the coffee cup to Barbie, and Barbie's hand reaches back is an ode that as their fingers touch to the painting of Michelangelo called The Creation of Adam. In the painting, we see God's hand touch Adam's at the moment that he was forming and creating Adam from the dust. Here, Barbie is having this moment with her creator. And what she's beginning to recognize is this, is that not only is the world in its entirety broken, but when I look close enough, I'm broken as well. And her creator looks back at her and offers something that I believe with all of my heart so often our creator wants to offer us as well. This world is never what you expect it to be, but it's marvelous. This world is broken. But I love this world so desperately that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to put the pieces back together again. You may be broken, but when I look at you individually, what I see is someone who is created in my own image. I still see the very best about you. I still see that you are marvelous. And we see this sentiment spring forth from maybe one of the most famous passages in all of God's word. A guy by the name of John, as he was following the God of the universe who had put on flesh and stepped onto the pages of history around for 3 years on this earth, in one moment put pen to paper as he was listening to the God of the universe talk as flesh and blood in front of him. He put pen to paper and penned something that would change everything when he wrote this. For God so loved the world. He so loved you. In the middle of your brokenness, in the middle of our mess, he so loved us that he was willing to give his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. I so love you that I still see how marvelous you individually are. And yet in the midst of this encounter with her creator and dealing with the difficult circumstances of life, this doll begins to wrestle with one of life's most monumental, one of life's most pressing questions that we all find ourselves wrestling with a time or two or a thousand throughout our time here on earth. The question that Barbie found herself wrestling with is the same one that we encounter day in and day out in our time here on earth. And it was this: what was I made for? What is my purpose? Was I made to make a difference? Was I made to have a purpose? Because the truth that we all know deep down when we look close enough and get honest enough is this, is that if we could just find the answer to that question, what was I made for, then maybe, just maybe, we could begin to really live. That if we could begin to discover the answer to that question of what our purpose is and why we were made, then maybe we could begin to discover a life that was more than what we're presently living. To actually begin to grasp what Jesus promised and what he came for, that we may have a rich and satisfying life. Yes, right here, right now, on this earth. You see, what we all know is that I don't need to have a perfect life. I just want my life to make sense. That if I could just know what my purpose is and to really live out that purpose, things would be a whole lot different. And yet, what if I told you there was good news this morning? What if I told you that the good news was this? Is that the answer to that question is actually quite simple. And yet, where it becomes complicated is this. Where the answer to these questions become complicated is that the message we receive from the world around us, from every advertising campaign to every social media post we come across, seems to be in direct contradiction to what our purpose actually is. That as we live in this world and we go chasing our purpose in this world, much like Barbie was, what we find are answers like this. That if you just accumulate as much as you possibly can, if you just become a little bit more like him or like her, or if you just become a little bit better than him or her, along that path you'll find your purpose. And yet time and time again, we've gone chasing down that path in our attempt to find our purpose and accumulating as much as we can, or making our lives like somebody else, the highlight reel that we see of somebody else on social media, or just trying to live a little bit better than everybody else, we fly right past the real truth and the real answer that our God has freely given us to this question that we ask. An answer or answers that have the potential to change everything. And so this morning, I want to hand that answer over to you, over to me, so that our lives from this day forward will best be described as rich and satisfying lives. That we will know why we were made and we can begin to live on purpose. But what is my purpose? What is your purpose? This answer is really twofold. That's how simple the answer to this question is. There are but two things for every single one of us as humanity that we were made for. The first is this: you, I, we were made to simply be me. For you to simply be you. You see, I'm not sure if you realize this, have ever been told this, have forgotten this. Every morning when you wake up and look in the mirror and see someone staring back at you that you don't think quite measures up. This may be worth the price of admission this morning, but you individually were created on purpose for a purpose. You, no matter how broken your past looks, how dysfunctional your present is, no matter how many mistakes you've made, sins you've walked through, as you sit here today living and breathing, you were made on purpose for a purpose. You were given gifts and abilities that no other human being on this earth possesses. The God of the universe, our creator, uniquely knitted you together in such a way that you were unlike anybody else. You were distinct. And because of that, somebody, somewhere is waiting for you to do what only you can do. This world is in desperate need of you doing what you were created to do. Not what they tell you you're supposed to do, not what social media tells you you're supposed to do, not what any advertising campaign or movement wants to convince you of, what your creator says you were created for, who he created you to be. And yet for all of us, the truth that we bump into is, yeah, Ben, easier said than done. Because every time I start venturing down that path to be the best version of me that I can be, I undoubtedly hit some hurdles, some obstacles in the way of me believing that and pursuing that. And there are really three major hurdles that all of us face to being me. The first, we see Barbie bump up against. As her life is unraveling and things have begun to fall apart, not only is she broken and a mess, but Barbie Land has been completely ruined by Ken. He has brought all of these things back and made Barbie Land into something it was never meant to be. And as she encounters all of these problems in her life, she wakes up and looks in the mirror, and what Barbie sees staring back at her is what you and I so often see staring back at us that becomes an obstacle to us just being me. Check this out. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not high enough up on the corporate ladder. I don't have enough skills to really make a difference on anything around me. And yet so often as we encounter that obstacle in all lives, the creator of the universe, the one who knit us together, looks back at us and it's like he wants to shake us in the same way that Gloria does to Barbie. Did you catch what she said? It kills me that you don't think that you're good enough. The God of the universe looks at you and I in those moments and he says, I created you. How dare you tell me that you're not good enough? I created you to be good enough. I died so that you could be good enough. And time again in my word, in this instruction manual that I have given to you for life on this earth and how to discover your purpose and life to the full, I made it clear over and over again what I have done for you and what I think about you. A guy by the name of Paul does an absolute masterful job of putting pen to paper and describing the way in which God views us. And maybe one of Paul's most powerful moments in describing what God has done for us and who we are uniquely, individually, comes in a letter that he writes to the church in Ephesus. We find it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Paul writes this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Why would God do that for us? He reveals the answer in the next sentence. Because this is what our Creator sees when he looks at us. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Do you realize what our Creator is saying about you as you sit right here, right now? When I look at you, I see a masterpiece just as you are. When I look at you and you become fully you, that's when you shine like the pinnacle of my creation. And that's when you realize that what I did for you on the cross actually has two parts. You see, maybe some of us don't recognize this or aren't living by this truth, that Christ didn't just save us from something. He also saved us for something. He saved us to something. He didn't just save us from hell. He also saved us to make a difference on this world. Did you catch that in that very last line? I've created you anew, what? So that you can do the good things that I planned for you long ago. I made you on purpose for a purpose. I didn't just come to save you from something. I came to save you for something, to something that only you can do. But it isn't just that we don't see ourselves as good enough. We also find ourselves again and again bumping into this second false hurdle. And it's this, that my life would be better if my life was just like somebody else's. If I was just a little bit more like somebody else. We consistently get sucked into the comparison game that is all around us in this world. It is so easily to stumble into every time we find ourselves thumb scrolling through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or any other social media platform. That if my life just looked like their highlight reel, then I would be a whole lot better. And maybe I'm supposed to be them. Maybe that's how my life gets better. Yet the God of the universe looks at us and he says, I have created one of them, and one of them is enough. Zero of you in this world is not enough. The world desperately needs you to be you. That same guy, Paul, in a letter that he writes to a different church, gives us this perfect picture of how the body is supposed to work. Here's what he writes in his letter to the church in Corinth. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole, fill in the blank, fully functioning, best as it can be, body. So it is with the body of Christ. That's us, y'all. That's what he's talking about. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. He has created you unique for a specific purpose, and he's put you right where you are on purpose. You are right where he wants you to be. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. For the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And this is so good, y'all. In fact, some parts of the body that seem, that feel weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. It's as if the God of the universe reaches through history into the way in which I look at myself and the way in which you look at yourself. And says, you know the moments where you have felt weakest and least necessary? This sentence is for you. I want you to know how loved you are. I want you to know how special you are, how chosen you are. You don't need to be like anybody else. Just be you. Be who God created you to be. There's this incredible part of the movie where Ken really believes that he was only created to be arm candy for Barbie. That's his purpose, and that's it. Because it's Barbie and Ken. Without Barbie, there would be no Ken. And as Barbie begins to discover her purpose, what she was made for, she offers this incredible advice to Ken. I love that last line. There's so much hidden truth in there, isn't there? We were only fighting because we didn't really know who we were. In this moment, Ken discovers, Ken is me. I don't need to be like any other Ken. I don't need to be like anybody else because there is no win in comparison. And the fact of the matter is that we have to stop living our lives in an attempt to be somebody else. Stop settling for being the version of you that's just a little bit better than somebody else. That wasn't how you were created to live either. To rest on your laurels, well, according to my scorecard, I'm just a little bit better than him, and so I'm good. Be the best version that you can possibly be. Be you. Don't worry about them. But the third hurdle that we so often run into is that the world is just too broken for me to really do anything significant to help. The world around me is a mess. Everybody is a mess. And I can't fix it all. And so maybe it's just easier to throw in the towel and to begin to live my life just worrying about me. It's a moment that we see Gloria fully encounter. As Barbie has fallen apart, Barbie Land is in shambles, Barbie has given up. Gloria relegates herself to, maybe I should just do the same. Go back to the real world and worry about me. But in this moment, thinking that the world is just too broken for her to do anything about it, her daughter offers her this incredible moment. Check this out. You can't make it perfect, but you can make it better. You see, if you walked into this room and you are a Jesus follower, what we have been charged with is this. Stop complaining about how bad the world is and start doing something to actually help. Hello? Y'all okay? That is what we as Jesus followers have been called to. To be the very best version of ourselves for the world around us, who God created you to be. Not somebody else, not what somebody else tells you to be, not what the world has convinced you you should be, to be who God created you to be. No comparisons. No, I'm not good enough. Just you. But while being me is the first part of discovering our purpose, if left to simply that, we will always be unfulfilled in discovering our purpose. Because there is a second, vital, equally important part to my purpose and your purpose. And it's this. That to find our purpose, we must be in relationship with our Creator. The one who made you. The one who knows you best. The one who knows what's best for you and is constantly trying to tell you what's best. The one who holds the instruction manual to the very things that he has created, to you and I. You see, we will never discover the best that God has for us outside of relationship with that God. We were created to be in connection with our Creator. And what I love is just one chapter before, that passage that we read in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul puts so clearly what the truth is about each of us individually, about how desperately the God of the universe desires relationship with you and relationship with me. Check this out in Ephesians chapter 1. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You are loved. You are chosen. And you were made to be in relationship with a creator who was willing to do whatever was necessary to restore the relationship that I broke with him. I didn't deserve it. And yet he freely gave it. He took my place and went to a bloody and brutal cross on my behalf. And what does this passage say? He did it because he wanted to. And it gave him great pleasure to stand in my place, to take my place, to fix what I had broken, to love me in that sort of way. And along the journey of your life, whatever lie you've been fed by the world around you or by the voice that echoes back at you when you look in the mirror, that God couldn't possibly love you, choose you, want anything to do with you, if he really knew your past, if he really knows the dysfunctional present that you're living in, there's no way that God could take pleasure in adopting you into his own family. And to that, I say, bull. God's word makes it clear again and again and again how much he loves you and how desperately he wants to be in relationship with you. All of those lies that we've been believing for so long, they just aren't true. And so the question is this: what was I made for? You were made to be you. The best version of you that you can possibly be. No comparison, no better than somebody else, just you. And you are made to be in relationship with a creator who is for you, loves you, and was willing to go to a cross for you. That's how desperately he wanted to be in relationship with us. Two simple answers that allow us to discover our purpose and begin living out our purpose on this earth. There's an incredible moment at the end of this movie. Barbie is rehashing all of those questions, wondering where she goes from here. And what was she really made for? And what is she supposed to do now? In the midst of all of these questions, she has an encounter with Ruth Handler. One final encounter with her creator. In the midst of all of these questions, in this final encounter, her creator offers her something so incredible. Paints this perfect picture. Not only changed the trajectory of Barbie's future, has the potential to change yours and mine as we ask the question, what was I made for? See, the sentiment of this song that resonates with so many of us is this. Is that as we move through life and the circumstances, the difficulties of life, it's so easy to forget what we were made for. And yet that incredible part in that very last clip that I shared with you that is so powerful and paints such a perfect picture is this moment where Ruth Handler, the creator, says this to Barbie. Sometimes we as parents have to stand still so that our kids can look back and see how far they've come and see how far they can go. There is no more truer sentiment, no more perfect description of our Heavenly Father than that. I can think of no more bigger moment in all of history that describes that very sentiment than a God who was willing to put on flesh, leave everything that was rightfully His in heaven, and step onto the pages of history to endure a bloody and brutal cross. To stand still on that cross for you and I. to take our place and what we deserved, to restore what had become broken, so that we could look back and see how far we've come, so that we could have hope for how far we could go. That is who our God is. It is how much He loves us as our Father. He chose to do it, and it gave Him great pleasure to love us in that unbelievable way. Isn't that a God who is worth having relationship with? Isn't that a God who is worth reciprocating His great desire for having relationship with us by taking a step back towards Him? That is what you and I were made for. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for being a God who stood still, a God who loved us enough to take our place, so that in saying yes to You, we could look back and see how far we've come. And God, what You did on that cross, it wasn't just about saving us from something. It was also about saving us for something, saving us to something, to be the very best version of ourselves that we can be, to strive every single day to give of ourselves, knowing that we can't make this world perfect, but we were called to try to make this world better. And the way in which we make this world better is by being the best version of me that You created me to be. And so God, for every single one of us, may we have courage. Courage to walk back out into our Monday lives, our Monday worlds, and to be me. And to be in relationship with You. And in that way, to not just discover our purpose, but to live out our purpose that leads to a rich and satisfying life from this day forward. It's in Your name that we pray. With all eyes still closed, all heads still bowed. You see, maybe you're sitting in this room or watching online, and the thought that's firing across your heart in this moment is simply this: Ben, I want to discover what I was made for. I want to be the best version of me that I can be. The problem is, I'll never fully discover my purpose because I haven't taken that second step. I've always held God at an arm's length, been skeptical that there's any way He could love me, choose me, because of my past and because of what I see looking back at me in the mirror every single day. And yet today, Ben, what You're telling me is that I can put all of that to bed. That all of that just isn't true. It's a lie from this world, a lie from the enemy that's keeping me from a God who loves me, is for me. If there's a kind of God that loves me enough to stand still, take my place on a cross, to fix what has become broken, that's a God that today is worth saying yes to. So if that's you, right here, right now, in this moment of courage, it's as easy in your own head, your own heart, repeating this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for going to a cross for me, standing still as my Father, so that I could see how far I've come. Thank You for being a God who sees me as a masterpiece, even when I don't see myself that way, who sees something in me that I rarely see in myself. Thank you. Thank you for loving me in a way I don't deserve. Because of that, today, I'm choosing to say yes to you. I need you. And I'm inviting you into my story, into my life. I'm inviting you in to what you've called me to be from this day forward. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for loving me unconditionally. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen.